Everybody, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. Listen here, I could be a certain way right now, but as I keep telling everybody, I'm going to be me. The greatest person I know how to be is myself. I don't have a problem with being that comfortable, and I don't want to start every episode that way. But when I tell you, emails have been coming on, people have been coming in, but God's been coming first. He's been just doing what he does, and I thank him. I declare my healing right now. I've been struggling with some days of breathing, but we thank God for healing power. We thank God for strength, and I trust him. My faith is in him, and my full faith is in his authority toward us, his authority with us, really his authority through us, and I stand on his promises. I really do. And I thank God for all he is doing. We have so much that's going on, and we usually advertise right now for all the activities that's going on. And I was sitting here and I was trying to, you know, sort of say, okay, God, what are we doing? And how are we doing it? And just decided, wait a minute, let's just do what we do. Let's just do what we do. I just looked around, beautiful setting and where I am. And sometime we just have to take a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus. God's been good to me. He's been good to my family. He's been good to my children. He's just been good to all of us involved. And I'm just going to be honest with you. He has kept us truly from danger seen and unseen. He has watched over us tremendously. He's been our rock. He's been our source. And I'm quite thankful. And there's a way to get into everything. But my natural way is just being me and just following God and following what he has for us. Hey, I was into that song. I was listening to that song again by CeCe Winans. That's My King. Really like that. Really like that. Want to say to everybody that's been tapping in, I thank God for you. I just thank God for everything that's happening toward me. There has been truly a lot of questions that have come my way concerning everything that has been said. Hey, y'all saw that lightning? Hey, that's real. There's a lot of questions that have come forward and toward me. That should help somebody notice the real background. And I was trying to filter those questions and to answer them because I sort of made up my mind because a lot of questions were concerning the enemy and the attack of the enemy and how to approach the attack of the enemy and how to deal with Satan attacking. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's a tough question and tough questions to continue to dwell in, because to continue to approach him is to continuously give him the room for those things. But I will say this to you. The Bible in Ephesians the 6th chapter said we got to put on the whole armor of God that we can withstand the fiery darts of the devil. We have to be prepared for the war that's going on in your hearts and your minds and your family and your home and your job. Have to be prepared for it. And it was beautiful with the preparation of this, I don't know if we call it episode or this moment. It was beautiful. And the reason it was beautiful because as we prepare for things and we set our hearts for things, we also set in our heart and minds, just trying to get some things settled in. We also set our hearts and minds for where we're going from here. And I'm going to say this with full excitement. You know, the topic that we don't want to get played again starts to get in our hearts, how many times do we recycle the same failure? How many times do we recycle dealing with the same episode or the same situation or the same brokenness? How many times do we see things coming and we do not take the scripture and let it live in our lives? I'm a heavy, and you're going to hear it a whole lot. I'm a heavy faith walker. I believe in Jesus Christ. The prayer comes before the show. Amen. So I don't have to go against the word of God. I like to keep my prayer a little silent, a little to myself. So as the enemy starts to come at me and come against me or decides that this is the moment that he wants to have with me, I am full-fledged word set in order to defeat him. I'm word set, which means there's enough word in me to offset any of his attacks and actually not to allow those to be moved. And we keep having days of that teach. I don't know if anybody realizes we're having days and days of that teach. It's coming up regularly. How do we defeat the devil? How do we defeat his ways? And how do we defeat it inside of us? How do we go against these things? And it's something when you start thinking of your mind being defeated. Word of God said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And we start to look at this mind that it is in us. The battleground that Satan has with you is your mind. That's the battleground he works with. And he only works with the battleground of your mind because as a lot of times we do not take the word of Ephesians 6, the chapter, and put it directly into us and put it directly in our minds. He said to put on the helmet of salvation, the mindset of deliverance, the power mindset, where you start to see the ways, amen, of what the enemy's doing, and then you can defeat that way. And you can defeat it at whatever the cost is of the defeat. You can even battle on this screen of the cursor and who has control of the cursor. When the engineer know what you're doing, he can see you trying to do what you do, but he's trying to do something different. And you have to put even that under subjection and say, now you see what I'm doing. And if it's not in context with that, we got to do something different if that's what we're doing. But that's also how the enemy works as well. What the enemy does is while your mind is set to do one thing, he's on something else that's not in tune with what you're doing. It's not in the way of what you're doing. It's not the blessing of what you're doing. He takes that off of where you are focused in God and places somewhere else. And I see you, Sister Day. Amen. Well, there's some things that we have to first put in the context of our heart to defeat the enemy. And that is to gain word, as much word in you as you can get. When you look at 1 Peter, the second chapter in verse 1, look what he says. If I'm going to defeat some things and take control of some things, I have to take control of what's being said, what's being brought out. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, and all envies, and all evil speaking, I have to do that in order for me not to be defeated again. I have to put aside those thoughts that are not godly. I have to put aside those thoughts that are not in the will of God. I have to put aside those thoughts that, if we can put that verse back up again, please. All of those thoughts that are out of the sanctioning of God, all of those thoughts that out of the preferred element of operation. So I personally, so they said, how do we defeat the devil? I personally got to lay aside my receptive action, malice. I got to lay aside my approach, God. I got to lay aside my lie, hypocrisy. I got to lay aside my revenge, envy. And I have to lay aside my power of my tongue. I got to take my tongue under captivity. And what? I have to lay aside evil speaking. I have to take control of what I am saying, amen, to have full authority of what's going on around me. And when we started, when we take that word over to the same chapter, but verse 22, we find something important as well. And what we find important is that we look at Jesus Christ. And when we become like him and we follow that word of to be like Christ, we find out who did no sin. Jesus did no sin. Neither was these items found in his mouth. Because why? The devil could not use his mind as a playground. The devil could not use his mind as a means to do as he chooses when he chooses to. He could not take time within his mental state to be able to take him off course into other things. Y'all remember Mark 4? And I love talking about Mark, the fourth chapter, why Jesus was weary from fasting. The devil came at him. But the devil, when he came at him, he realized when he came to Jesus and tempted the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life with Christ. Something began to happen because he realized Jesus' mind was not going to be a playground for him because there was the helmet of salvation. It was the mind of Christ. He could not attempt to change his mind toward what he knew the word says. If you read it carefully, he kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. Because the word of God was so planted in his heart and his mind that he might not sin against God, that it became the power source of what was existence. So when you look at Christ, amen, and you start to look at who he is, you start to look at, he did no sin, neither were the things of sin coming out of his mouth, because what defiles us is what comes out of our mouth. So Jesus could not be the playground for the devil. Now you have to ask yourself, am I a playground for Satan? Can Satan use me as a playground of my heart? When you look at 1 Peter, the third chapter and verse 10, and we talk about this element, you start to look at that. For he that will love life and he sees good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. If you're looking for good things to happen in your life, if you're looking for God to move, refrain your mouth from speaking negative things. And his lips that speak no guile, refrain yourself. Reframe yourself for those things that were your normal way of defeat and start to look at, maybe I can approach it this way. Maybe I should try not speaking those things in that fashion. Maybe I should stop talking about the things that happen negative around me or my family matters or the things that might seem as if they're beneficial, but they're actually a curse. Because you can try to intermingle because that's the way you trained and you're brought up. But the word of God in Proverbs say, hey, life and death cannot come out of the same mouth. It cannot be produced out of the same tongue. So you start to have to look at, if you want to see good things, if you want to see good life, if you want to see prosperous things happen in your life, reframe your tongue from evil. Amen. Keep the guile out of your mouth. Control your lips. Speak to that thing and say, I will not curse my future. I will not speak those things that are negative for the things that's coming in front of me. I will not speak that over my brothers nor my sisters in Christ. I will speak of the glory of God over their lives. I will speak those things that are going to be a blessing to them, because I can't find and I cannot have found in my mouth guile or evil words or evil language toward one another, because there is no benefit in it. And when the devil comes, he wants to destroy. What he wants to do is he wants to destroy your testimony by what's coming out of your mouth. Because once he destroys your testimony, he destroys your faith. And I know I have witnesses there. Once he destroys your testimony, he has destroyed your faith. Your faith is out of the pocket at that moment. That's why you have to speak the word of God that is profitable. You have to speak the word of God that's going to build you. You have to speak the word of God that's going to be power to you. Because when he comes to destroy you, amen, he comes to put you in a place to where you cannot work for God. You cannot work for the kingdom, because your heart and your spirit will be pushed down and compressed by the words that came out of your mouth. So now God cannot use you, because your words will not bring life to anyone. And so your words got to be uplifting. Your words got to be encouragement. Amen. So you have to reframe your tongue from evil. I hope somebody heard me. You have to reframe your tongue from evil, and your lips have to be something that's going to be powerful, so your testimony cannot be destroyed by the devil. Amen. Because if he can get an advantage and a gain over you, He's going to take that thing and try to take that thing to a successful place for him and not for the Lord. You need the Lord to be magnified. You need the Lord to be glorified. You need the Lord to do the things that he has for you. You need the Lord, amen, to be in control of your mouth. And I thank y'all for those who are saying, I refuse in any form or fashion, amen, to curse what's in front of me, because I will not give the privilege of the devil to ruin my testimony and to kill my work in the kingdom. I will not be destroyed by my language. When you look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter and verse 6, we find something powerful. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, he will get his tongue under control as well. Okay? And we look at it positively. But when we change out of that to Jeremiah, the 9th chapter and verse 6, I want you to look at both of them. When Jeremiah comes up, he says, in the midst of deceit, look at this. Thine inhabitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. Because through these trials and tribulations, you forsake God. You don't want to know him like you did at one time, because the devil has stole your testimony. And when the devil steals your testimony, his inhabitation cannot be there with you. He cannot dwell with you. He cannot be with you. I don't care what you say. In the midst of the fullness of the lie and the deceit and the work of the enemy in your heart, and you have snatched off the helmet of salvation and tossed it away, amen, that's the moment you start realizing through your deceit, you refuse to know God. Nor do you want to walk with him. Nor do you want to trust him. Nor do you want to let the light that he has shine upon your feet so you can walk in the goodness of him, because your steps are already ordered by God. My God, and then at that point, you don't want to be in fellowship. Then your prayer life goes down. Your fasting ceases to happen. Your words of encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ is lost. Your desire to do missionary work is gone. The spirit of evangelism has left you. And then at that moment, you feel empty. But God is still available. He is still available. But the devil just wants to attack your personal life and get into your personal life, because he knows through that deception to you, you do not even want to work with the Lord. So yeah, I thank God for those who are saying the devil, he's not going to steal my testimony. He's not going to steal my relationship with God. No, I'm not going to get played again. I'm not going to get played twice. No, I'm going to still speak those things as if they were. I'm going to walk in truth, and I'm going to fully believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father except by him. And I'm going to believe that I am with him, because I am in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. My old man is put away, and I have laid aside every weight that so easily beset me. But then it becomes a war in that inhabitation. I mean, the things that you have to separate yourself from in order for you not to get played twice in your relationship. Be powerful. Let's look at this word in Job, the 15th chapter and verse 35. It says, when you in this place, they conceive mischief. When you in this place and your spirit is away from the Lord, you start setting up things that almost place you in a full state of narcissism, and the devil is working fully with you and snatching your heart to serve God. Job 15:35 says, they conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceit, because it flows out of them. It flows out of their belly. It flows out of their heart. And then there's a plan. This evil works. The evil work starts to have you to put a plan together against individuals in the body of Christ. I'm not going to work with that person. I'm not going to deal with that individual. No, I'm not going to fool with that person. I'm not going to deal with that person. I'm not going to walk with that person. I'm not going to spend time with that individual. No, I don't like them. I'm not going to fool. I still have an old saying. If you think I'm wrong, come help me get saved. Help me get right if you think I'm wrong. That's the part that really bothers me, where I think the body of Christ get food regularly. If you think I'm off course, if you think I'm out of the will of God, my goodness, come help me get saved. Help me get this thing right. Help me get it on track. Don't let the devil take all of us. Save me then. Work with me. Call my name. Call my number. Pray for me. Intercede for me. Get in there and say, God, I think the man of God is a little off and he's not perfectly in your will. So we lift his name up right now. God, reach him through me if I have to. Let me be a vessel. Let me be your vehicle for your glory. Let me talk to him. And this word of God is powerful. So in Job, he was even saying here, they start putting a plan together when you out of the will of God, because now the devil have you. He have you fully in his grasp, and he's deceiving your personal life because he wants to destroy your testimony and he wants to kill your effectiveness in serving God. Let's go to Psalms, the 43rd chapter, verse 1, because we want to do the word justice. But it says here, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. God, deliver me from environments that are not in your will. God, deliver me from things that are of the wrong motive. God, get me out of things that's just not according to your perfected will. And take me out of the evil state. Do not let me dwell with deceitful and unjust men. Do not let me be in the arena of the heartless. Do not let me dwell with individuals, God, that do not have the intent to serve your purpose and excellence. Because you have to sometimes look at it and say, God, I trust that you're going to take care of this. I trust that you're going to put it all in order. I trust that you're going to do exactly what I knew you would for me. But judge me, oh God, and plead my cause against a ungodly and unholy nation, and deliver me out of the crowd that I shouldn't be in. Place me in a rightful place where I'm strong. Place me in a rightful place where I grow. Place me in a rightful place where correction is available. Place me in the right place where my pride decreases, but my praise increases. God, place me in the right place. Put me around the right things, because God, I don't want to get played again. I don't want to go down that road again. I don't want to go through those things again. I don't want to see those things again. Deliver me, God, from those things. Now, when he delivered, you got to walk away. You can't play. You can't vacillate. You can't play betwixt two thieves. You got to make a decision between two opinions. You got to choose when he releases you. The word of God in Psalms 120, he said something very crucial here. When he also was pleading, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. He wasn't just talking about people. He said, Lord, don't let me get played again and have the devil fool me with lying lips and a deceitful tongue toward other people. God, do not let my mouth create mayhem. Do not let my mouth make a situation messy, God. God, lead and guide my verbiage. Lead and guide my mouth to bring unity and be a bridge, God. Not over troubled water, but just bring a bridge where people come together. Amen. Whatever the cause might be, let my mouth unite people together, God. God, touch my mouth to be part of your miracle performance. Touch my mouth not to lie about your goodness, but to speak of faith that I truly live. Touch my mouth, God, to walk in that true calling of the heart that wants to serve you, because I want to serve you. Deliver my soul. What a personal cry. Deliver my soul, O Lord, and don't let me lie to myself. Deliver my soul, and don't let me have a false opinion of myself. Deliver my soul, and do not allow me to raise myself up in front of people with a walk I cannot provide. How many of you know that's heavy right there? How many of you know that's something good right there? Guide my mouth to be real about my situation. Guide my mouth, God, amen, to be truthful in my repentance to you. Guide my mouth and heart to step into your profound calling, which is over my life. How many of you know that's good? Then you can serve him, because when you're honest with yourself and take a self-evaluation and walk in self-accountability and an assessment of where you are right now with God, you might find out something. You might have some work to do. But you might not be as bad off as you think. Just give your mind, your body, and your soul over to God and tell the devil, I'm sorry, I've seen your story, and you have already presented that to me in the past, and you're not going to play me again. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you play me again. I'm not going to let you steal my faith. I'm not going to let you steal my praise. I'm not going to let you steal my worship. I'm sorry. This time, I'm going to give him the glory because he deserves all the glory. And to God be the glory, just in case some folks wondered, Philippians, amen, 2 and 11. And God gets all the glory. No one else gets that glory but God. And you have to give God all the glory. Amen. Let's look at Romans 16. Romans the 16th chapter and verse 18. Bring some silence. It says, for they that are such serve not our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, but for their own belly. And by good words and their fair speeches. Somebody will play you by the good words and fair speeches and what feels good to them and where they're trying to manipulate you to. But this word says, you need to know who you're listening to. You need to know them that are preaching the gospel. You need to know them who are serving the gospel and their purpose. What is their purpose? What is the desires of their heart? Because this word says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but for their own belly. Preaching for their belly, ministering only for their belly, and their words are wonderful, great words, fair speeches, can preach extremely well, but their hearts are far from God. He said, there are going to be those who are going to preach well, shout well, sing well, and he's going to say, I don't know you. I know you not. You work with iniquity because your heart is far from me. You never did what I asked you to do. You never spoke those things I asked you to speak. You never told the people what my word says. And it's something when you go, I'm sorry, God. I have to readjust my purpose so I don't get played again. I got to readjust why I do what I do. Because you say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to give you all the glory. Because the name you gave us allowed us to defeat Satan with that name called Jesus. And I received that name because it's the blood that covers us and watches and makes us whole. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost that keeps us, regenerates us, moves us, watches over us. It does something to us. It empowers us to do it, do the will of God. And this thing and the miracles you're going to see in your life, the Bible says, you don't have to worry about it. Fasting and praying takes care of that. Amen. These miracles are by fasting and praying. There are going to be things that happen in your life, the power of the Holy Ghost and miracles and signs and wonders. Once you realize I'm not going to get played again, I'm going to take the fullness of my faith and not let the devil play around in my mind and not let him play with my circumstance and not let him play with my mornings, not let him play with my noonday. Start taking full authority. Y'all got to catch on. The power of God is not by looks. The power of God is not by placement. The power of God, amen, is not by churches. It's not by individuals. It's not by titles. It's by them that love God. And remember, he poured out his spirit on all flesh. He was intending for everybody to serve him, especially you. So don't let the devil steal your testimony by playing around in your mind. Let's try to get a couple more verses in. Hey, Proverbs, the 12th chapter and verse 5. It deals with something good. It says, the thought of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. That's something. The thoughts of the righteous are right. All you got to do is get your mind right. If any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. But he said you have to have a new mind. And he said, on some of the other things, you got to drop it. You got to forget it. You got to let it go. Says God, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Because when the counsel of the wicked work, they have to have other imps with them. They have to have other allegiance with them. They have to get others to join them because it's something the devil will never work alone. The righteous can work alone. But the Bible says that the wicked flee when no one's chasing them. But the righteous are bold as lions and they'll stand by themselves. Why? Because they carry the full authority of God in their lives. And they know that the devil doesn't use my mind as a playground. Amen. I'm stronger than that. I am more powerful than that. I am more than a conqueror. And the devil will not give me that presentation. And I surely will not abide in it. Let's throw one verse in here so we can get everybody in full concept. Amen. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 9 and 10. One of my favorite verses. Everybody know that. It says, lie ye not one to another, seeing that ye have put off what? The old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So when you put off the old man and his deeds, you put off the mind that the devil can play with. So you put on a new man. You renewed your knowledge after the image of him. How you used to function, the groups you, how you used to do it, how you used to move forward and how the devil would play with you and snatch your faith and kill your work. And now you don't want to serve God, don't want to do his will. Those days are over. And what do we do for one another? We refuse to lie to each other. I'm willing to tell you I love you, and that's pureness of the heart. I'm willing to tell you God has a plan for you. He knows the thoughts that he has for you, and they are good. And I'm telling you tonight, don't let him play you again. You are worthy. God has his hand upon you. The pureness of God is working with you. The strength of God is there for you. And the blessings of God are working through a name called Jesus. If you don't know it, call on him tonight. And I tell you, he will answer. He will answer. Y'all know, Jude 24:25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. And we all say amen. Hey, don't get played again. Don't do it. Don't let the devil play with your mind. Keep the helmet of salvation on. Let's run with it. Let's do God's will, and let's prosper. I call you blessed. Have a great evening and good night.